Hello and welcome to Developing Perspective. Developing Perspective is a podcast discussing news of note in iOS development, Apple, and the like. I'm your host, David Smith. I'm an independent iOS and Mac developer based in Herndon, Virginia. This is show number 87, and today is Tuesday, October 9th. Developing Perspective is never longer than 15 minutes, so let's get started. Starting off, I'm glad to announce that my weather app that I've been talking about on the show and kind of walking through with the steps of development was finally approved by Apple sometime, I think it was early yesterday afternoon. But so that's exciting, and I think everything's sort of moving along on track as I've kind of been hoping it would be and as I've been talking about. So now we're in this place. It's still planning to launch October 17th, which is next Wednesday, so about 8 days from today. And the reason I'm doing it then, and not immediately, you know, releasing it and unleashing the hounds and putting it out there, is because I'm hoping to do a bit, you know, concerted marketing push on this. And that's what I'm going to be talking about today. And I've had a lot of you to ask me about App Store marketing, talk about App Store marketing, please talk about it. And it's like, I'll talk about it and I'm going to walk through how I'm going to go about it and what I'm doing. The thing I wanted to mention and emphasize, though, is there is no magic sort of key to this. There's no like, oh, if you do these 10 things in a row, your app will be successful, get lots of buzz, and you'll make $1 million. Like, that's not the way the store works. That's not reasonable expectations. That's not sort of how this works. What I'm going to talk about, though, is things that you can do that are reasonable, you know, obvious if you've been doing this a long time, which is perhaps a bit of a conceited thing to say, but the things that you can do to give your app the best likelihood of success. At the end of the day, that's the best you can do, is you're just creating an environment where you're not doing anything that's holding it back. And that's kind of what I'm hoping to try and apply a lot of what I've learned from a lot of different other app launches I've done. I've done some with no marketing effort, with no press. I've done some with lots of effort that have gone nowhere. We'll see where this one goes. But basically, Why I did the thing I did where I submitted it, and then essentially I was always planning to launch the app about 2 weeks after I submitted it. It was roughly about 2.5 weeks. And so the reason for that is I want, to know that the app is going to be approved and available when I'm starting to reach out to people in the press, starting to do marketing efforts, when I'm starting to do all these things. I want to be confident that the app is going to go out there. And at this point, you know, the app status in the App Store, in iTunes Connect, is ready for sale. And the only thing that's holding it back is the availability date, which is, you know, set to October 17th. So, you know, you never know with Apple, things could change, but pretty much I'm very, you know, I have a 99% confidence that my app will be available and ready in the store on that date. And so that's why I did it that way. The other side benefit, which I'll talk about a lot in depth later, is that you get your first set of promo codes for their application the moment the first version's approved. And those codes, even if the app isn't available on the store, work, which is kind of cool, which I'll talk about in depth later. So those are the two things that I did it that way. And I've actually already submitted my first bug fix release. I mean, and I hope it'll actually be approved before the app goes live next Wednesday. Because, you know, there's nothing major. I mean, the app is pretty stable at this point. It was just a few things I found over the, you know, in the 9 days it took to be approved. I, you know, found a few things. I've made those tweaks, made those adjustments, added a few people's names to the acknowledgments, you know, beta testers who got back to me and provided feedback. And, you know, well, I'll go ahead and turn that right around and submit it. I mean, I very much have a view with Apple and approval of it's something that I pay for, and so I'm going to take full advantage of that. And so if I have a few fixes, a minor update that will never annoy any users, probably, you know, in terms of for you don't want to be constantly pushing out updates, but I have no problem with like the, you know, I resubmitted my app with version 1.0.1 probably within about 10 minutes of it being approved. And that's, you know, so now I'm back in the put myself back in the beginning of the line, work my way along. That's just the way I'm going to do it. And hopefully they'll be approved, and so a slightly better version will be available next Wednesday. All right, so marketing. The goal of initial marketing for a new app, and this would change if it was an existing app they're doing the update for or those types of things, but for a new app, your goal is always to have a big explosive launch. And First, obviously, there's the first reason for that is your app is most interesting when it's new. That the first day it's in the store, it is, you know, it's the freshest. It's new. No one's seen it before. It's hopefully interesting and compelling. And it's not old. And new is good. So you want to get it in front of people's, you know, as much as you can that first day, first week, first month, because that's one of your sort of, you have these few opportunities to really have a good, compelling story about it. Another thing that's also helpful is, as I believe this is still the case, though who knows, Apple's constantly, you know, monkeying around with the algorithms, but typically ranking is some kind of a weighted average of past day sales. And so initially you benefit from it only being weighted on one day's sales. So if that one day sales are good, it does better ranking-wise than it may otherwise if it was being pulled down by previous day's sales, if that makes sense. It doesn't seem like they sort of count your previous day's sales as zero and pull you down. It seems like they kind of give you this little extra inertia on the first day. And so you want to have a nice big burst. And so your first day launch, you're trying to get everybody you know, everybody who you possibly could reach out to be interested in your app and to download it. And, you know, that's the goal. You want to have this nice, big, splashy launch. You'll often see this happen when an app has a big first launch. And the interesting thing is you'll see them sort of go up like a balloon, like just fly up the ranks. And then you kind of get this you're creating this opportunity where if it's a really compelling, interesting, useful, awesome app that's getting some word of mouth, it's getting some buzz, it'll stay there and it'll have some staying power. And you're getting exposure to people who are just discovering it in the App Store. And that's awesome. And if it's not so much, well, you'll have a big up and then you'll have a big down. And that's okay too. You've made full advantage of your first day, and you've hopefully, and honestly, a lot of what I do as an independent, my goal is that I want that first couple days, I'll feel so much better if that covers my fixed costs. You know, the design, the artwork, font licensing, all those kinds of things. That if I can kind of make sure that I've covered those, I haven't necessarily covered my time in whatever that means, but I feel a lot more confident if that's, you know, if that happens. If that doesn't happen, I'll be a little bit more nervous about whether this was a good investment for me to make. And so basically the way I do that is this process started probably about 3 weeks ago with sending out betas. And I think I've said before, the way I do betas, start with people who love you, people who like you, and then move to people who you respect. And so, you know, it's been working my way out to friends and family, to sort of friendly coworkers, I guess you could say, sort of colleagues, people I know really well. I've worked on projects before, and I've kind of been working that out with the beta process. I use Test Flight for that. I'll probably be switching to Hockey at some point. I like the way Hockey app works a little bit better, but it's at this point, it's very convenient to use Test Flight because so many people have Test Flight accounts, and so it's very easy to get their UUIDs and everything, and people are updating their device lists and accounts and things there. So I use Test Flight, and that works pretty well. Basically, you just do a build that you can send out to a specific number of devices. Everything's fine. The next thing that I do is, now that the app has been approved, I switch into the promo phase of my marketing effort. And by that I mean betas are kind of, they work, and they're really kind of annoying to do these ad hoc distributions with the App Store builds. You need someone's UDID, they only work on certain devices, etc. Now that I have promo codes, every version that's approved of your app in the store has 50 promo codes associated with it. And that's basically a little code you type into iTunes, you type into the App Store, and you get a free download for that person. And these, like I said, these work even if the app isn't available yet. So I'm now in the process. I haven't quite started, but I'll be starting soon, of sending out links to other people to expand my reach. And I'm doing this with these little links that say, you know, it's like, hey, if you'd like a preview of the app, it won't be available until next week. But if you want a preview, enter this promo code or click this link. You can format promo links with a way to do kind of a one-click use, which is awesome. So people who it's trivial. If they're on their phone, they hit a link, and their app will start downloading. Or at worst, it'll ask them for their iTunes password, and then it will start downloading. So it makes it super easy, you know. And ultimately, what you're trying to do is, especially as you move out to the more sort of the press people, and people who write for magazines, people who write for popular websites, what you're trying to do is make it as easy for them to kind of get a taste of your app. And so that's where I'm doing. A lot of people do videos and things sometimes for that. Honestly, for me, what I'm thinking is, hey, if you click one link and my app's on your phone, that's I've won at that point. If you open it and you like it, great. If you don't, then my app's not very good. But I'm going to be able to tell you a lot. Like, you can play with it and get a lot of flavor for it right away. And so, like I said, I'm kind of reaching out to the press. The press is kind of a funny thing. I mean, a lot of these big sites, I don't even really bother with anymore when they have these kind of like canned forms where it's like, if you have an app that you'd like to see, yeah, like us to preview, you know, enter the follow, enter a whole bunch of information, and someone in our team will may or may not look at it. Like that may work one time out of a thousand. I don't know. I've had very limited experience with success with that. What I have success with, though, is trying to cultivate relationships with people in the press. And this is one of those things that I'm going to say that if you ever listen to Back to Work, it's like, that's fine for Merlin. It's like, I've spent probably years now cultivating some amount of reputation in the community so that when I reach out to some of these people, they know who I am. And kind of there's this funny part of this for marketing of one of the biggest things you can do in the marketing of your app is becoming famous, becoming at least internet famous, or becoming famous in a very small niche, because what you want is to be recognizable to these people. And if you I can say from experience, it takes work, it takes effort, but it's very doable. About a year ago, but when I was first starting developing Perspective, no one had heard of me. I was just F. Smith. I'd been making successful apps on the store for years, but it was just something I never really put any effort or interest in. I was just like, I was just a developer. I wrote apps and I put them out there and I hoped they did well. But after at a certain point, I decided, hey, you know, I want to make a name for myself. I want to create a platform from which I can share my experiences and hopefully help people along the way. And so that's what I did. I started writing a blog, david-smith.org. I started this podcast, Developing Perspective, and I started to become very active on Twitter to try and find opportunities to help people, to engage in conversations, to get into discussions, and I think it's largely worked. I mean, I'm not saying I'm like super famous at this point, but a lot of the people who I respect in the community are people, you know, like you could say they follow me on Twitter, they follow me on AppNet. There's a bit of a reciprocity to that rather than it being just like sort of rather than just being a follower of a lot of these individuals. And that means that at this point, I have a platform by which to share the things that I'm working on with people who I respect their opinions of. And that's a great opportunity. And it's just the thing that's hard is giving that as sort of as advice. And by saying it's like it's sort of in some ways a prerequisite, is it's not easy to do, and there's no like straightforward way to do that. It's just you have to make it something that you're working on. In the same way that you're working on becoming a better developer, being a better designer, having a better taste, like all of these kinds of things. One of the things you have to work on is your name and reputation. And I guess if you were a company, it's like your brand recognition, your brand. Like you have to work on that. And you kind of see that. And it's interesting how I find some developers didn't have to do that work necessarily. I think of someone like Tapbots, who their apps are so distinctive and so well done that eventually they just created that name for themselves. But that took a long time. I mean, their first app, you know, Waitbot, was years ago, and they've been consistently making really good, high-quality, distinctive products. And if you do that, I'm sure the App Store will find you if you're making awesome, amazing, distinctive products. But if that's as much as we all want to do that, we're all not, you know, Paul Haddad and Mark Jardine. Like, some of us just don't necessarily play at that level. Or that's not the style, and we don't want to be distinctive in that way. And so we just do what we can. Ultimately, your goal is just to be yourself and find people who think yourself is awesome. And that's the best kind of marketing you can do. I mean, it's in some ways, it's a funny thing where like the show and the people I'm talking to you right now, if you're listening to this, I hopefully have developed some amount of rapport with you over the year I've been doing the show. And so when next Wednesday, when it launches and I'm like, hey, it's available, I'd really appreciate it if you check it out. I'm hoping that a lot of you do that because there's some amount of relationship there. And of course, you want to be careful. You have a limited amount of capital. You don't want to overly do this too often. You don't want to go to that well too often or it'll run dry. But, you know, I don't do it very often. You know, it's been a while since I launched something new. That was a big, important thing for me. And so that's what I'm doing. I'm going to be doing all this reaching out, and I hope it works. All right, that's it for today's show. As always, questions, comments, concerns, I'm on Twitter at @_DavidSmith. I'm on AppNet at just regular David Smith. And otherwise, happy coding, have a great week, and I will talk to you later. Bye.